Our next speaker is someone I'm really happy to have here on the stage. Nico from Falzcom, head of IP and network, will take us on a tour behind the scenes of telephony networking behind different service providers. I think this will be a very interesting topic. One thing before you welcome Nico here with me, please, I want to remind you, mute your devices so we can have all the enjoyment of the next talk. Welcome on stage, Nico, it's for you. I'm sorry, we have to wait for some more seconds.
Ah, that looks a bit better.
While we are waiting, are you aware that you can rate these talks? Please do so, rate the talks, and help the program committee for the next years to decide on which talks we want to hear more from. Now we are ready here on stage. Nico, please, your stage.
Thanks, Jan, and good morning to everyone. Thanks for making it here for the second session right after the nice event yesterday. As Jan introduced me, I'm working at Falzcom. I'm doing network there, and I'm also doing network at some other events, not for profit, but more for fun, like CCC Camp, Congress, and other camps. Falzcom is a regional ISP from Rhineland-Palatinate in Germany. We operate our own network via own fiber. We operate multiple data centers. We provide internet or site-to-site connectivity. We have managed services, and we have voice services. This is a niche product for some of you. Some still have a phone, some don't. But what's going on? You've got a phone, you're calling your friend Bob, and you have your phone connected to your Fritzbox CPE or whatever, or you may have a VoIP phone from a well-known brand, and something is happening in the middle to get that phone connected to Bob. And that something used to be really difficult, handled by special hardware back in the analog or ISDN area, where the protocols were different from your ISDN or analog port. But nowadays with SIP, that's getting a bit simpler. It's a bit more standardized, but kind of not. But still, the entry to get into that, the bar really has been lowered by that. Let's have a look into that something, and also let's have a look what's a provider and carrier, especially in the German market. Every country is different. I had some chats to someone who's running a VoIP carrier in the UK. That's a totally different story to Germany, and that's why I'm also telling you the story how it's handled here, because it sounds a bit weird, but it isn't that bad at all. To be a provider in Germany, of course, you have to be registered. Bundesnetzagentur wants to know who is providing services in Germany, not only in general, but also for telephony. So there is this Verzeichnis der Portierungskennung, which has numbers for every provider. Every provider has at least one of these numbers. The first assigned number, D001, is Deutsche Telekom. Not a big surprise. Some have multiple, especially when migrating from ISDN to VoIP. Many use that mechanism to have a new Portierungskennung, transfer net numbers over. There's one company with over 20 of these. A, I wonder why. B, how? Because Bundesnetzagentur is asking quite serious questions when you want to have more than two or three of those. So that 20 is quite interesting. You can find all those data on the website of Bundesnetzagentur. So that's available to the general public. You can have a look at it and also see if your provider is listed there or if they are maybe only reselling other provider services, which is also totally fine. There is no big central database of all phone numbers in Germany. Bundesnetzagentur has a database where they keep track of the number blocks and to which provider they assigned those numbers. But what's happening afterwards is not in that database. Everyone has their own database and they have to sync with everyone else, which is good and bad, maybe. So that kind of depends. It's very robust, as in there's no one big entity which can fail. They made a big change when number portability in mobile phone carriers came into play many years ago, because they used a big database for mobile phone numbers there, but that's landline. That's a totally different story. It's a standardized format in which the data has been exchanged. It's defined by AKNN, and that's a lot of abbreviations you have probably never saw and maybe will never see again, so I had to look up what they are spelled. AKNN is the Arbeitskreis für technische und betriebliche Fragen der Nummerierung und der Netzzusammenschaltung. So that's, yeah. And the ITEX PDA is the IT-Expertengruppe für den Portierungsdatenaustausch. And PDA is Portierungsdatenaustausch. So that exchange of the data. So that's basically a German version of a RIPE working group for telephony. It's similar. It's no legal entity, the AKNN. It's not an AV or a company doing that. It's a working group of all providers interested in making telephony a better space. Or, well, at least fitting to their business needs, maybe. They define this standard. They also define a lot of other standards. We might see one or two more a bit later in the slides. But they define what's in this data and how that data has to be aggregated. There was a big change this year when version 20 came into place, when they switched the SSH keys. The data transfer is protected via SSH nowadays. It was ISDN lines back many years ago. It then moved to FTP and then to SFTP also many, many years ago. This year they rolled over keys to be at least RSA 4096 or elliptic curve keys. They deprecated RSA 2048, which meant you had to get in contact with everyone who still had an old key, and that's over 100 providers. Thankfully, some do not run their own database. Some use a hosting service for that. There are two big companies providing hosting services for the Portierungsdatenaustausch server, and that made roughly 50% of the Portierungskennung for Germany, though that was a big improvement. I only had to write 70 emails instead of 130. But as I said, it's 100 Portierungskennung. Everyone has to talk to everyone. That can be automated, that can scale well, but if you're doing it manually, there's a lot of stuff to keep track, especially because there are some smaller pitfalls in the regulation which say, if someone hasn't logged in into your server for 2 weeks, you will have to disable their account and email them what's wrong. If they completely fail, there's a big chance that Deutsche Telekom will already have done that, but if it's only a problem between you and them, then it's up to you to figure out and poke them to repair that. But it works. There's, on this level, not so many flaws because there's a lot of paperwork going on before and after porting a number from one to the other provider to make sure that it usually works. Sometimes it's a hassle and sometimes it's the customer who's complaining what's going wrong. But there's also some strict regulation there. If you want to port your number and you misspell your name, nope. You went unlucky that time, you'll have to retry it again and start from zero. So that's the phone number part. What about the connectivity? How to get there between the providers? Most of the time, so over 99% of the carriers I talk to, it's physical links between the voice carriers directly. So if you've got a phone number with us and a phone number with Deutsche Telekom, there's a physical link. If you're with Zipgate and you want to call someone who has a T-Mobile mobile phone number, there's also a really high chance that it's running over a separate cable, not over the internet. There used to be in the early days some IPsec or other VPNs over the internet to transport that signaling, but that's mostly gone from what I've heard and definitely from with us. We are only using physical cables directly to our other interconnection partners. And there's also no IXP-ish thing for that voice stuff. It's directly peer-to-peer between the carriers, no third party involved in between to do kind of a route server. And most of that connectivity between the providers is BGP nowadays. That also used to be a lot of static routing back in the early days. Most of them have moved to BGP nowadays, especially to have better failover. There's one notable exception by a provider which definitely does not have a pink color in their logo. They do static routes with BFD. They have done static routes without BFD up until about 2 years ago, and then they introduced BFD with them. So if you happen to work at a provider which has a not pink logo, please have a chat with your voice colleagues. I know in big companies there's always redundant information, multiple people doing the same thing, and obviously the voice people do not want to do BGP, and that's more or less painful for other providers. It mostly works. Most of the time, it's a really reliable product, voice services in Germany. There are no big regular outage between everyone, but still, static routes with BFD, come on. With multiple providers, it's the same. You've got your provider, and they have connection to Alice, Bob, multiple providers, and happily route the IP packets with static routes or IP, but how do you do the phone number routing? There is no BGP involved there. There's also no standard routing protocol between the providers. So that's totally up to you to figure out where the phone should go to the call. Some do just the least cost routing and say, Munich, that's cheaper over that provider. Or even simply, Germany, that's the cheapest on that provider line. Especially if you've got two, the chance is pretty high that one is a big incumbent with a bit higher rates and one is a bit smaller provider with way lower rates per minute. So that is, it's an easy decision. You're supposed to do the call routing to that provider where the number is hosted, where the number is owned. But many providers I spoke to do not do this. Most of them will just do least cost routing or use the path with which is working, especially with overseas connectivity. Sometimes intermediate providers can be a bit tricky, and then it makes sense to just interfere with your least cost routing to get the phone connected instead of dropped. Some have linked their voice service somehow to their Portierungsdatenbank, which they run on site and sync with everyone, as you learned, with one or the other API, and at least one provider I spoke with many decades ago on the DNOC IRC channel, they did enum. They installed, someone's waving, hello. So that's, for me, I think a pretty neat solution to just bring all the phone numbers into your DNS system and then have just a DNS lookup for your SIP platform to see where the phone should connect to. But others just do REST and so, but that also depends on which software you're running. Some are running open source software, which can be customized to fit your needs. Many of the big ones run closed source software they just buy from one of the big known vendors, and they are a bit more limited and on their own routing stuff they can implement. It would be fun to see EVPN implemented there for the routing, but also I'm not sure if EVPN is working with static routing. I think there are issues there. So now what's going on the cable itself, on the interconnect? And that's just another AKNN document. That's also a known spec. It's the specification of the NGN interconnection interface. And that's basically just SIP. As defined in multiple RFCs, and if you are Googling various SIP headers, you will find multiple RFCs defining those headers, and sometimes you can just get lost. So it's all standardized, but which of the standards do you pick for your use case? That's always a big issue. Most providers stick to that specification, especially Deutsche Telekom is really hard on using that, which also makes it quite easy for most of the providers or most of the use cases, because if you're running into an issue, the first thing you can do is look in the spec if you are sending the call with the right headers and the right number termination, or if you've got a problem in your call routing before opening a ticket with them. Some providers use that spec also for their own ICs, some don't, and vary a bit. So there's a lot of testing going into the introduction of a new IC between voice carriers. That's a big, basically, chunk of cost to your voice platform. especially some providers are really keen on testing and do a really thorough testing that can last for weeks to get everything and every use case tested. There are some weird things going on with call forwarding, emergency calling, premium rate numbers, and all that stuff has to be tested before that goes into production, because no one wants to be sitting on the cost and because they can't, well, provide a bill to their customer or their interconnection partner. So some notable headers which are very common here in Germany is the IP preferred identity. You might see that on your own landline when you signal a call outgoing or get it from your provider. And that's the preferred way to signal CLIP. So which number shall be visible on the B end to be calling from. Some use the from username, but most of them use the IP preferred identity. Also because it's in the engine and interconnection spec, and it's easier to just do the same on your customer end as on your provider end instead of translating headers around. The IP asserted identity is a real important header between the providers, because this is the number where your provider says, this is what I know of that customer, this is the number they have. Not what they want you to see, but this is the header where the provider is going to look into if you've got a scam call, for example, or some other fraudulent call going on. The B end provider will go into their data and have a look at that header, but that's also regulated. You can't just go into the logs and have a look, what's going on there 3 days ago because my customer complained. No, they can only complain for the future. They can complain, I've gotten scam calls. Then the provider can flip a switch that they are allowed to look into that and like trace the fraudulent calls and then do that in the future when you get another one. There's some really strict regulation on how to handle that call data in Germany because of data protection, which is good. Sometimes hindering, but I'm a big fan of it. The SDP is the part in SIP where all the codecs go in. Some customers still do the normal ISDN codecs, like back in the day. Some do HD audio, but there are so many more codecs you can signal over SIP, especially all the mobile phone codecs. And most of the providers will just transparently forward you that packet and add some more routing headers or history information. SIP is UDP, so you're going to have a lot of fun with fragmented UDP packets and making sure that nothing breaks there. Sometimes it does, mostly not. Emergency numbers, that's another thing, not only defined in one spec, but two. When you dial 110 or 112, your provider is taking care of figuring out what to do with that call. They take into consideration your physical address of where your contract belongs of your phone number, and then they rewrite the call to route it to the appropriate emergency calling call center for your area that differs. They will also provide some more information, and the additional data is XML nowadays. So you've got a big SIP packet inflated by three times to add all the XML information. You can do direct address, you can do geocoding, you can add a company name or some more information. That's interestingly defined in RFC, how that XML is supposed to go, be formatted. They also use it in other countries with a similar thing. I think I read about that in the USA 10 years ago, about E911, Enhanced 911, which is pretty similar. The idea of that is that the customer can also add their own information. So if you've got a big company calling the emergency services, the customer telephony system can add the information on which floor, which room, or which building that call originated. So the emergency services can go directly to the office of the person calling them instead of asking around who called that. I have never seen that implemented in Germany. I haven't got a customer who's doing that. I'm not sure if you've got a customer who is doing that, but I would be interested to see if it even works. And especially, what are the emergency services doing with that information? Or what are they doing if they've got two differing information? The provider says it's in Schulstraße 1, and the customer says it's at Bahnhofstraße 1. So where do they go? Do they go to both? Do they go to the provider number? Or do they go, what? Not sure. Nobody could answer that question, but it's an option I would say nobody uses yet, but that's also quite new. The TA Notruf has been revisioned 2 years ago or so. to get that into the TR. Also, the Technische Richtlinie Notruf from BNetzA only applies to providers. They had to implement their part, but the emergency data centers, they didn't have a timeline to implement their part. So it could be that they don't use that information or don't see that there's no regulation on the B end, unfortunately. So most of the work was stuck with us. Number porting. Funny thing about number porting, we don't have the central database. And when you port a number, your providers agree on a date on which that number is ported. And they will publish data on their SFTP server for everyone to collect. And that's basically the leaving provider where the number is going off will say, this number is moving from me to another provider. And the other provider will publish a matching data set saying, I took over that number from the A provider and now it's with me. But all this data is only active the day after you've ported your call, your phone number. So for minimum one day, all your calls are going through your old provider and they forward them in a funny way where they introduce, where they introduce the new provider number as a routing number in the SIP invite. So you see the SIP plus 4969X and then a bit further in the back, RN is plus 49DYYY. And that D number is the B-end provider number. I'm not sure if you can produce, you can produce loops with that, depending on where you route that call. Sometimes that number might get stripped. So if you're routing that call to a provider which does not have direct connectivity to the B end where the number has been ported, they might strip that number, have a look at in their database, and it says, it's going back to you. Route detection is doing its work there, but the only way to really route the number, because there's no central database of who has connectivity with what, there's no BGP and EVPN, so you don't know which providers are interconnected with each other. There's one exception, one provider which has to have interconnectivity and know the way to every other provider, and that's Deutsche Telekom. So most of the time, if you've got an active number porting, just route that outgoing call to Deutsche Telekom, and they will make sure that the call reaches at B ends without looping through multiple phone systems. That's the thing the customer sometimes just notices when there are fuck-ups there in the call routing. The database is wrong, or the provider put in false information and routing that call through another carrier. Then you can notice it. And also, most of the time, they activate that at 6 o'clock, sometimes a bit later, some provider, some a bit earlier. So on the day the number is ported outgoing, you will have issues. But you won't lose the number usually. So as compared to other countries, when you port the number multiple times, we don't do N call forwards, but mostly use the up-to-date information. So if your provider goes bust in between, you won't be left without connectivity for your phone. Some of you probably won't notice because who's using landline nowadays? I quite like it because it's easier to trace and to figure out what's going on there. Even before I was working on a provider side, I liked landline because I could do all the traces on the phone. I could see the signaling. With mobile phones, that's a bit harder, but there are some debug toolkits which also work on non-rooted iPhones or Android phones where you can extract the voice over LTE SIP data, which is also SIP on IPsec again. So everything is SIP nowadays. So the conclusion, it's standardized and open protocols, which is good. We don't need proprietary hardware anymore, which is also good. So the smallest phone setup you could do is between 2 and 6 physical servers and 2 providers, so 4 lines to providers. That's easy to set up if you want to, but you will have to do a lot of testing. There's a lot of stuff which can go wrong with the headers, who is reading the spec, in which way do you really agree that this part in the spec is meant to be interpreted in this way or the other. That can be fun, but all in all, I'm quite happy with what we have in Germany, it could be a lot worse. There's room for improvement, but there's also a lot of stuff which could go wrong where we have learned the way to make it work reliable. And that's it. Time for questions.
Thank you very, very much, Nico, for these very interesting insights into this topic. We have time for questions. And we also take questions from venueless, from our remote viewers. Are there questions? You did an awesome talk. No questions. I have one minor question on the thing. You might have remembered you talked about portability and so on. And we also have this portability thing in Germany, where mobile numbers are ported over to a different provider together with their starting number, with the provider telephone number. How is this managed? Is this dedicated per every number, or is there some central database for single numbers? Do you know anything on that?
So for mobile phone numbers, they have a big central database, which is currently hosted by T-Systems, I think. That database knows which mobile phone number is assigned to which provider currently. So not only the blocks they initially get assigned, but also if you move your number from O2 to Vodafone or Deutsche Telekom, there will be an entry in that database that this specific number is now with another provider.
Okay, that's very interesting. We have one more question. Wait a second.
But it's a similar thing with landline, but without the big database, with a central database. So, but with landline, there's also in the provider database, if a number has been ported, you will see that this specific number is not with D01 anymore, but with anyone else or the other way around.
It's not a strictly question, but also an addition, because I know the Swiss system quite well. So instead of the PK, it's just called NPRN in Switzerland. Pretty much the rest is fairly similar. Yes, you can produce loops. It's fairly hilarious. You normally need three parties to create loops. And what you can also do is, does anyone remember the days of pre-selection? Because basically pre-selection was the exact same thing. So when you start messing with that, things blow up.
Yes.
Fun.
Yep.
And the system is called Teldas in Switzerland. And of course, it's owned by Swisscom.
Okay.
Thank you very much for these additions. So if there are no further questions, please give Nico a very warm applause for this talk. Nico, thank you very much.